Bill Griffith draws his cartoon strip Zippy the Pinhead to keep from going crazy. It's his way of rechanneling the constant buzz of mass culture. Bill Griffith started drawing Zippy in 1970, first for Underground Comics, then for alternative newspapers. For the last 3 years, King Features has been syndicating the strip to 55 daily newspapers. If you've never seen Zippy, I'll describe him for you. His size, hulking. His age, somewhere between 14 and 35. He has a pear-shaped head topped with 8 hairs sticking straight up. He wears a large, flowing polka-dot muumuu and styrofoam shoes. Zippy speaks in a trail of non-sequiturs made up of useless bits of information. I'll let his creator, Bill Griffith, describe Zippy's personality.
Kind of like the remote control device on your TV set. The way you click it from station to station in a seemingly arbitrary random fashion. But if you pay attention, it makes a kind of sense all of its own.
Well, Zippy doesn't only behave like my remote control. He's a real mass media sponge.
Television and reality kind of blur in Zippy's mind, as well as probably most people's. They just don't want to admit it. The characters in a TV sitcom are just as real to him as one's family members may be to you and me, and maybe a little more real.
Laundromats have a mystical place in Zippy's life. When he was campaigning for president, he talked about laundromat consciousness. And he once said, "Don't you realize that the end of the wash cycle is a treasured moment for most people?" What's this about laundromats for you, or for him?
Well, it's got to do with staring at the wash as it spins in the circular window of life, I guess. He sees things in the wash. He sees things that maybe other people don't see.
Other than his clothes.
Right. And don't forget, you meet interesting people in laundromats. Laundromats are like buses that don't move. You know, they're like everybody is in a laundromat at one time or another, and you can talk to them. It's a little easier. And you can observe them in their natural habitat a little better than you can in other public places. It's a kind of microcosm of life, you know. A laundromat is where everybody gets together in the old sense of you know, doing their laundry like people used to do in the old days when they all came down to the river, I guess.
Now that you have your own washing machine, do you miss the ritual?
I must say I pay occasional visits to the laundromat with my sketchbook. I have to keep in touch with the real people.
One of Zippy's mottos, if that's the right word, is, "Are we having fun yet?" And I was wondering how you came up with that, if you don't mind my asking you.
Well, like all Zippy sayings, it did not come easily to me. I think it started out with, "Am I having fun yet?" And then it was... am I having fun? I tried it without the yet for a while. It took me a couple of months to perfect that, and now it's, of course, on bumper stickers coast to coast, for which I receive not 1 cent. But it's every cartoonist seems to contribute at least one phrase to the language, and maybe that'll be on my tombstone, you know, "Am I dead yet?" or whatever. it's a long tradition, and I'm glad I was able to give America a phrase with some deep resonance.
Well, I'll tell you what speaks to me about that phrase. You know how there's a whole genre of, a whole population of people who insist that you have a good time?
Right. Well, Zippy's question is not meant to have an answer, of course. It's more of an existential statement. Right. Well, if you don't know, and you have to ask, there's no answer for you. There's no hope. It's more of a statement of condition than it is a question about fun or the lack of it. But I think when people put it on their cars, what they're trying to say is, "Where's the party?" Basically, which of course is another existential question.
There's a character who I assume is your alter ego named Griffy.
Mm-hmm.
Would you describe the character and why you created him?
Well, Zippy is not enough for me. I need my own voice as well. Zippy can't spout crank opinions the way Griffy can and believe them. Griffy can believe in his opinions. Zippy slips in and out of them like costumes and a change of clothes, or Zippy swims among his opinions, whereas Griffy holds tight to them. And I think that's he provides a kind of a George Burns to Zippy's Gracie Allen, I guess.
You started drawing Zippy in the early 70s, And that was still during the time of underground comics and and the counterculture. And a lot of the underground comics really had a lot of, druggy kind of jokes, acid head jokes and pothead jokes and, you know, jokes about, you know, humor about being stoned all the time. Was it hard for Zippy to survive underground comics? I mean, to survive past underground comics, to outlive underground comics.
I suppose it was hard for any cartoonist that worked in underground comics to survive underground comics. It effectively died as a vibrant or vital medium in about 1974. I survived because I didn't take so many drugs. I don't know. Zippy was a voice that was inside me that I had to speak with. I didn't have much choice. I just kept doing it, and all I can figure out is that hard work got me through the mid 70s, and just. It was a struggle, yeah. I mean, there was a time from 73 to maybe 78 when doing Zippy was more of a need, a personal need of mine than it was anything else.
How does the Zippy of the days of underground comics compare to the Zippy of today who's syndicated in dailies?
I don't think there's a hell of a lot of difference. I think it's a real evolution. You have to remember that though I am syndicated daily, and it's by King Features, probably the oldest and possibly the most conservative syndicate, if you look at their roster of strips, they came to me. They asked me to do a daily strip. I didn't knock on their door. But I figured, why not take advantage of it? And I said, well, you know, here's my list. I felt like the SLA. Here's my list of demands. Among them were that I keep my copyright. If you look carefully at daily strips, you'll see the only, to my knowledge, the only cartoonists and daily strip cartoonists that retain their own copyright are Gary Trudeau and yours truly, which to most cartoonists is not a big deal, but to me it was, because this is something I created and I think of it as something that I'll probably be doing into my dotage, you know. Are we having old age yet? Are we having retirement yet? So I thought it was important to keep my copyright, and I also said, you can't, you know, I mean, I do what I do. If this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. I'm not going to change it. I don't think I've ever, at least consciously, I've never tried to pander to an audience. I've never tried to tailor the work to anybody.
You started as a painter, and then you started doing comic stuff. What was responsible for the switch?
Seeing the first underground comics had a major effect on me in New York. I think I was basically suppressing. There was like a Milton Berle in me trying to get out, and he couldn't squeeze out through the oil paint tube. He couldn't fit. My work was, as a painter, was getting increasingly silly and goofy and unsaleable. I was starting to put balloons, word balloons, into my work. I guess I found my medium. It was one of those things where, as a kid, I was always interested in comics, and then I took a long detour through art school and fine art, and finally came back to what I probably always should have been doing.
You probably feel really privileged to be in places like newspapers now that lots of people read, as opposed to being confined to comic book stores or to art galleries.
Oh yeah, it's a daily thrill for me to realize that Ronald Reagan is reading my strip in the Washington Post. You'll remember that in the early days of his first term, on the front page of it was here, at least, I'm not sure it was all over the country, they printed his telephone doodles, and every one of them had a tapered, pointed head with little bow at the top and little hairs. I took this as a great compliment. And also, I think it was either during his first or second campaign tour, he was in New Orleans speaking to an audience of hard hat, you know, construction workers, and they presented him with, you know, a bronzed hard hat, and he held it up aloft and he said, "I'm sorry, fellas, I can't wear this. I'm a pinhead." This went out over the UPI wires, by the way. I'm not making these things up.
Bill Griffith has Zippy books and a Zippy screenplay, and now Zippy has a theme song.
Zippy! What a baby boomer. Zippy! He's a real consumer. If the rinse cycle of sorrow is spoiling your day, there's a polka-dotted pinhead heading your way. Yo! Zippy,
zip, zippy.
He put the whiz in the cheek. His life's a
This is Fresh Air.